Dateline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Obama's first 30 days. We'll take a look at the new president's first month in office with Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. What has Obama done right? What has he done wrong? And where does he stack up in the president's getting dealt the worst hand to begin their term in office? Also in this edition, it's Netanyahu. The former Likud party prime minister gets a second crack at being prime minister, assuming he can put a coalition together. We'll talk about that with Waleed Faris of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Plus, the Minnesota stalemate continues. We'll talk with Kevin Dukes of the Minneapolis Star Tribune about the latest twists and turns in the legal fight over who ought to be the next senator from the Gopher State. And a double shot from the Capitol steps. We'll reflect on the latest political developments in Israel, as well as the experimentation of Olympic champion Michael Phelps with marijuana. All that, plus our top news at week's end, follows our discussion with Professor Larry Sabato, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He also runs UVA's Center for Politics, and he's the upcoming author of The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House. And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Wonderful to be with you, Greg.
Well, the reason we wanted to talk to you today, Larry, is because Friday marks 30 days of the Obama administration. I know the first real early critique of the administration comes after the first 100 days, but it's been such an eventful first 30 days that we thought we'd get a little bit of a head start on that. Larry, you're also a presidential historian in addition to analyzing what's going on currently in politics. Where would you rank the plate that Barack Obama has to deal with in his early days of his administration compared to some other presidents recent and far back?
Presidents can come in at good times, bad times, or so-so times. There's just no question that Obama has come in at a very bad time, much worse than the situation faced by Bill Clinton in 1993, but not as bad, certainly, as Franklin Roosevelt faced in 1933. So it's all relative. This, I would certainly say, is one of the two or three worst since the beginning of the 20th century. That gives opportunities for improvement, though. You can always say, and you always want to be able to say, when I came into office, things were terrible, and now they're not perfect, but we've made progress. We'll see whether Obama can say that. There are some who believe that the system, the economic system, will deteriorate further over the coming year.
And he's one of those people that said that things will get worse before they get better. Others have said, though, now, Larry, that because he got pretty much exactly what he wanted on the stimulus plan and Republicans had almost nothing to do with it except a few in the Senate, that this is his economy now. He didn't obviously create necessarily what he inherited, but that from where we go from here, since he can pretty much call the shots on policy, that it's his economy. How fair is that?
Well, it is, in practical political terms. I mean, you can sit there and argue economically that, well, he just inherited a bad situation from Bush and he needs, you know, two or three years to get the economy back on its feet if government actually performs that role. You can say all that, but look, it's did John McCain have responsibility for the bad economy? No, but he paid for it in November of 2008. There are realities in politics that cannot be escaped. And for Barack Obama, the reality that is inescapable is a year or so from now, people aren't going to be interested in hearing, well, you know, my predecessor gave me a terrible economy. They're going to hold him responsible. And as every month passes, more and more people will do that.
Larry, in terms of how this might play well for Obama, since the economy is clearly not good right now, there's a decent chance that in two, and especially for his consideration, 4 years, the economy could be looking a little bit better. How much better does it need to be for him to really benefit?
Well, considerably better. People have to believe that the economy is not only somewhat better, they have to believe that the future is brighter than the past. Now, look, 4 years is a long time, and this would be an extraordinary recession if we didn't see clear signs of recovery well before the election of 2012. I think the real questionable point is 2010, which is the midterm election, when 36 Senate seats are up, 36 governor's seats are up, all 435 House seats are up. That's when this can come into play, because at that point, Obama will have been in office for close to 2 years. Most people will say All right, we realize you just got in, relatively speaking, but we expect to see progress by now. Well, if they don't see progress, then you could see a snapback, at least of sorts, to the Republicans in the midterm elections.
We're talking with Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. The book soon to come out on the 2008 campaign is entitled The Year of Obama. And Larry, it was the audacity of hope that kind of carried Barack Obama to the White House, earned him support from some unlikely corners during the 2008 campaign. Some have said that he kind of switched once he needed to promote the stimulus package to the dire consequences of what would happen if his package did not pass. And now that he signed it, the rhetoric is kind of on the upswing again. How do you make his PR efforts in terms of plugging his economic agenda?
He got the bill passed. You know, it wasn't passed with a thing of beauty. Obviously, only got 3 Republican votes in the Senate, none in the House. He even lost some Democratic votes in the House. Some of the more conservative members, one liberal member who was upset that not enough was being spent, but mainly blue dogs. Some of the blue dogs peeled off. So, look, he got it passed. In the end, that's what matters. History will record that it was passed and signed, and it's an enormous bill. It's really the biggest thing, biggest amount and pot of new money a president has been given since Franklin Roosevelt. So, again, though, that means the pressure's on. The economy has to turn up. If it doesn't turn up, then a lot of Americans, even some who are not naturally Republican, are going to say, hey, it isn't working. We need to send a message. We need to send a corrective communication through the ballot box, and that's where the midterm elections come in.
Larry, what do you make of the Republican strategy through this? They, of course, would say that this was big government spending. This is not in coordination with their principles, and therefore they couldn't get behind it. Of course, the Republicans' control of Congress in the earlier part of the decade suggests a different pattern when they controlled Congress and the White House, but they say they've learned their lesson, and now they're moving back to their fiscal discipline roots. On the other hand, some say that they just refuse to play ball, and they're cheering for an economic failure through the Democratic agenda. What do you see as the fallout here for the Republicans?
Again, everything depends on whether the economy recovers and how quickly. Their bet is that it's not going to recover quickly and that they will benefit in 2010. If it does somehow recover quickly, despite all of the serious problems that we can all see, then I think they'll be in trouble, and Democrats are likely to expand their margin, at least in the Senate, in 2010. So it's always a gamble, always a riverboat gamble by both parties. You wait and you see and you hope that you've made the right decision. But, you know, think about it. Given their performance under the Bush administration, when Bush and the Republican Congress doubled the national debt, I don't see how Republicans could have done anything differently. They had to start changing again because they used to be known as the party of fiscal responsibility. They used to be known as the party that believed in spending cuts rather than tax increases. Well, they lost a lot of that luster during the first decade of the 21st century. In order to distinguish themselves from the Democrats and in order to have something to sell on the campaign trail, they needed to vote against the stimulus.
We're talking with Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. The upcoming book is The Year of Obama. And Larry, we've seen plenty of Barack Obama making public pitches for the stimulus package. He just outlined a housing mortgage relief program earlier this week. He met with the mayors on Friday and held a public event. What do you make of the amount of time they've allowed him to be in front of the cameras, which clearly he is comfortable with? And is there anything unique or special that you note about his style that could either bode well or ill for him?
This has been an awfully long month. If you ask most people how long Barack Obama has been in, if they don't think about it and think about the calendar, they're probably going to say it was longer than a month. So much has happened. There are so many headlines in a single day. Now, yes, some of this comes with any new presidency, but because of the crisis atmosphere, people have been paying close attention. The days have been elongated. Now, that's good in that it helps to focus people on the president's agenda. It's bad in that 4 years or 8 years is a long time, and presidents can go stale. People can get tired of them if they see too much of them.
And Larry, in terms of his agenda, he's basically got a Congress that's proportioned in a way that, for the most part, he can probably accomplish whatever he wants as long as he keeps his party members in line. How ambitious or how careful should he be given the numbers right now?
He's fine in the House. He's got more than enough votes to pass almost anything. But he doesn't have enough votes to pass almost anything in the Senate. The fact of the matter is that Senator Susan Collins from Maine, Senator Olympia Snowe from Maine, and Senator Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania, the three Republican moderates, have an enormous amount of power. Even if Al Franken is seated in that disputed Senate seat in Minnesota, Democrats will still be one vote short in the Senate of shutting off debate, unlimited debate. So the Republican moderates can play their hand well and probably will. They're going to moderate some of what Obama proposes. And when you think about the rest of the agenda on health care and energy and climate control and all kinds of other things that Obama has said are priorities, it's going to be a wonder if he can find the money and the political support to get them passed.
Last 30 seconds, Larry, when can we expect the year of Obama and what will we find in the book?
The Year of Obama will be coming out in March from an excellent New York publisher, Longman Pearson. I've written a good bit of the book, and we have a number of other contributors who have focused in on pieces of that incredible campaign of 2008. And we try to take the campaign away from the little bits of gossip here and there, the things that you read in popular press accounts in 2008. We really try and analyze what happened using the votes, using the exit polls. Because if you look at that election carefully, you can see a map of America's political future. And I think that's what people will get out of the Year of Obama.
Larry, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. The upcoming book is The Year of Obama. This is Dateline Washington.